Introduction. The first step is to give up the illusion that the primary purpose of modern medical research is to improve Americans' health most effectively and efficiently. In our opinion, the primary purpose of commercially funded clinical research is to maximize financial return on investment, not health. John Abramson, medical doctor, Harvard Medical School. I wrote this book to help Americans and citizens across the globe understand the historical underpinnings of the bewildering cataclysm that began in 2020. In that single annus horribilis, liberal democracy effectively collapsed worldwide. The very governmental health regulators, social media eminences, and media companies that idealistic populations relied upon as champions of freedom, health, democracy, civil rights, and evidence-based public policy seemed to collectively pivot in a lockstep assault against free speech and personal freedoms. Suddenly, those trusted institutions seemed to be acting in concert to generate fear, promote obedience, discourage critical thinking, and herd 7 billion people to march to a single tune, culminating in mass public health experiments with a novel, shoddily tested, and improperly licensed technology so risky that manufacturers refused to produce it unless every government on earth shielded them from liability. Across Western nations, shell-shocked citizens experienced all the well-worn tactics of rising totalitarianism: mass propaganda and censorship, the orchestrated promotion of terror, the manipulation of science, the suppression of debate, the vilification of dissent, and use of force to prevent protest. Conscientious objectors who resisted these unwanted, experimental, zero-liability medical interventions faced orchestrated gaslighting, marginalization, and scapegoating. American lives and livelihoods were shattered by a bewildering array of draconian diktats imposed without legislative approval or judicial review, risk assessment, or scientific citation. So-called emergency orders closed our businesses, schools, and churches, made unprecedented intrusions into privacy, and disrupted our most treasured social and family relationships. Citizens the world over were ordered to stay in their homes. Standing in the center of all the mayhem, with his confident hand on the helm, was one dominating figure. As the trusted public face of the United States government response to COVID, Dr. Anthony Fauci set this perilous course and sold the American public on a new destination for our democracy. This book is a product of my own struggle to understand how the idealistic institutions our country built to safeguard both public health and democracy suddenly turned against our citizens and our values with such violence. I am a lifelong Democrat whose family has had 80 years of deep engagement with America's public health bureaucracy and long friendships with key federal regulators, including Anthony Fauci, Francis Collins, and Robert Gallo. Members of my family wrote many of the statutes under which these men govern, nurtured the growth of equitable and effective public health policies, and defended that regulatory bulwark against ferocious attacks funded by industry and often executed by Republican-controlled congressional committees intent on defunding and defanging these agencies to make them more industry-friendly. I built alliances with these individuals and their agencies during my years of environmental and public health advocacy. I watched them, often with admiration. But I also watched how the industry, supposedly being regulated, used its indentured servants on Capitol Hill to systematically hollow out those agencies beginning in 1980, disabling their regulatory functions and transforming them finally into sock puppets for the very industry Congress charged them with regulating. My 40-year career as an environmental and public health advocate gave me a unique understanding of the corrupting mechanisms of regulatory capture, the process by which the regulator becomes beholden to the industry it's meant to regulate. I spent 4 decades suing the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency, EPA, and other environmental agencies to expose and remedy the corrupt sweetheart relationship that so often put regulators in bed with the polluting industries they regulated. Among the hundreds of lawsuits I filed, perhaps a quarter were against regulatory officials making illegal concessions to Big Oil, King Coal, and the chemical and agricultural polluters that had captured their loyalties. I thought I knew everything about regulatory capture, and that I had armored myself with an appropriate shield of cynicism. But I was wrong about that. From the moment of my reluctant entrance into the vaccine debate in 2005, I was astonished to realize that the pervasive web of deep financial entanglements between pharma and the government health agencies had put regulatory capture on steroids. The CDC, for example, owns 57 vaccine patents and spends 4.9 of its $12 billion annual budget as of 2019 buying and distributing vaccines. NIH owns hundreds of vaccine patents and often profits from the sale of products it supposedly regulates. High-level officials, including Dr. Fauci, receive yearly emoluments of up to $150,000 in royalty payments on products that they help develop and then usher through the approval process. The FDA receives 45% of its budget from the pharmaceutical industry through what are euphemistically called user fees. When I learned that extraordinary fact, the disastrous health of the American people was no longer a mystery. I wondered what the environment would look like if the EPA received 45% of its budget from the coal industry. Today, many of my liberal chums are still crouched in a knee-jerk posture defending our agencies against Republican slanders and budget cuts, never quite realizing how thoroughly the decades of attacks succeeded in transforming those agencies into subsidiaries of Big Pharma. In this book, I track the rise of Anthony Fauci from his start as a young public health researcher and physician through his metamorphosis into the powerful technocrat who helped orchestrate and execute 2020's historic coup d'etat against Western democracy. I explore the carefully planned militarization and monetization of medicine that has left American health ailing and its democracy shattered. I chronicle the troubling role of the dangerous concentrated mainstream media, big tech robber barons, the military and intelligence communities, and their deep historical alliances with big pharma and public health agencies. The disturbing story that unfolds here has never been told, and many in power have worked hard to prevent the public from learning it. The main character is Anthony Fauci. During the 2020 COVID-19 pandemic, Dr. Fauci, who turned 80 that year, occupied center stage in a global drama unprecedented in human history. At the contagion's beginnings, the U.S. still enjoyed its reputation as the universal standard bearer in public health. As the world's faith in American leadership dwindled during the Trump era, the singular U.S. institutions that were seemingly immune from international disillusionment were our public health regulators, HHS and its subsidiary agencies CDC, FDA, and NIH, persisted as role models for global health policies and gold standard scientific research. Other nations looked to Dr. Fauci, America's most powerful and enduring public health bureaucrat, to competently direct U.S. health policies and rapidly develop countermeasures that would serve as state-of-the-art templates for the rest of the world. Dr. Anthony Fauci spent half a century as America's reigning health commissar, ever preparing for his final role as commander of history's biggest war against a global pandemic. Beginning in 1968, he occupied various posts at the National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Diseases, NIAID, serving as that agency's director since November 1984. His $417,608 annual salary makes him the highest paid of all 4 million federal employees, including the president. His experience is surviving 50 years as the panjandrum of a key federal bureaucracy, having advised 6 presidents, the Pentagon, intelligence agencies, foreign governments, and the WHO, seasoned him exquisitely for a crisis that would allow him to wield power enjoyed by few rulers and no doctor in history. During the epidemic's early months, Dr. Fauci's calm, authoritative, and avuncular manner was Prozac for Americans besieged by 2 existential crises, the Trump presidency and COVID-19. Democrats and idealistic liberals around the globe, traumatized by President Trump's chaotic governing style, took heart from Dr. Fauci's serene, solid presence on the White House stage. He seemed to offer a rational, straight-talking, science-based counterweight to President Trump's desultory, narcissistic bombast. Navigating the hazardous waters between an erratic president and a deadly contagion, Dr. Fauci initially cut a heroic figure. Like Homer's Ulysses, steering his ship between Scylla and Charybdis. Turning their backs to the foreboding horizon, trusting Americans manned the oars and blindly obeyed his commands, little realizing they were propelling our country toward the desolate destination where democracy goes to die. Throughout the first year of the crisis, Dr. Fauci's personal charisma and authoritative voice inspired confidence in his prescriptions and won him substantial, though not universal, affection. Many Americans, dutifully locked in their homes in compliance with Dr. Fauci's quarantine, took consolation in their capacity to join a Tony Fauci fan club, chillax on an I Heart Fauci throw pillow, sip from an In Fauci We Trust coffee mug, warm cold feet in Fauci socks and booties, gorge on Fauci donuts, post a honk for Dr. Fauci yard sign, or genuflect before a Dr. Fauci prayer candle. Fauci aficionados could choose from a variety of Fauci browser games and a squadron of Fauci action figures and bobbleheads, and could read his hagiography to their offspring from a worshipful children's book. At the height of the lockdown, Brad Pitt performed a reverential homage to Dr. Fauci on Saturday Night Live, and Barbra Streisand surprised him with a recorded message during a live Zoom birthday party in his honor. The New Yorker dubbed him America's Doctor. Dr. Fauci encouraged his own canonization and the disturbing inquisition against his blasphemous critics. In a June 9, 2021, Je suis l'État interview, he pronounced that Americans who questioned his statements were per se anti-science. Attacks on me, he explained, quite frankly, are attacks on science. The sentiment he expressed reminds us that blind faith in authority is a function of religion, not science. Science, like democracy, flourishes on skepticism toward official orthodoxies. Dr. Fauci's schoolboy scorn for citation and his acknowledgement to the New York Times that he had twice lied to Americans to promote his agendas on masks and herd immunity raised the prospect that some of his other scientific assertions were likewise noble lies to a credulous public he believes is unworthy of self-determination. In August 2021, Dr. Fauci's acolyte, CNN's television doctor Peter Hotez, published an article in a scientific journal calling for legislation to expand federal hate crime protections to make criticism of Dr. Fauci a felony. In declaring that he had no conflicts, Dr. Hotez, who says that vaccine skeptics should be snuffed out, evidently forgot the millions of dollars in grants he has taken from Dr. Fauci's NIAID since 1993, and more than $15 million from Dr. Fauci's partner, Bill Gates, for his Baylor University Tropical Medicine Institute. As we shall see, Dr. Fauci's direct and indirect control, through NIH, Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, and the Wellcome Trust, of some 57% of global biomedical research funding, guarantees him this sort of obsequious homage from leading medical researchers, allows him to craft and perpetuate the reigning global medical narratives, and can fortify the canon that he, himself, is science incarnate. High-visibility henchmen like Hotez and pharma's financial control over the media through advertising dollars have made Dr. Fauci's pronouncements impervious to debate and endowed the NIAID director with personal virtues and medical gravitas supported by neither science nor his public health record. By the latter metric, his 50-year regime has been calamitous for public health and for democracy. His administration of the COVID pandemic was likewise a disaster. As the world watched, Tony Fauci dictated a series of policies that resulted in by far the most deaths and one of the highest percentage COVID-19 body counts of any nation on the planet. Only relentless propaganda and wall-to-wall censorship could conceal his disastrous mismanagement during COVID-19's first year. The U.S., with 4% of the world's population, suffered 14.5% of total COVID deaths. By September 30, 2021, mortality rates in the U.S. had climbed to 2,107 per million, compared to 139 per million in Japan. Anthony Fauci's report card. Death rates from COVID per million population as of September 30, 2021. United States, 2,107 deaths per million. Iran, 1,449 deaths per million. Sweden, 1,444 deaths per million. Germany, 1,126 deaths per million. Cuba, 650 deaths per million. Jamaica, 630 deaths per million. Denmark, 455 deaths per million. India, 327 deaths per million. Finland, 194 deaths per million. Vietnam, 197 deaths per million. Norway, 161 deaths per million. Japan, 139 deaths per million. Pakistan, 128 deaths per million. Kenya, 97 deaths per million. South Korea, 47 deaths per million. Congo, Brazzaville, 35 deaths per million. Hong Kong, 28 deaths per million. China, 3 deaths per million. Tanzania, 0.86 deaths per million. After achieving these cataclysmically awful results, Teflon Tony's media savvy and his skills for deft maneuvering beguiled incoming President Joe Biden into appointing him as the new administration's COVID response director. Blinded by generously stoked fear of deadly disease against which Dr. Fauci seemed the only reliable bulwark, Americans failed to see the mounting evidence that Dr. Fauci's strategies were consistently failing to achieve promised results as he doggedly elevated pharma profits and bureaucratic powers over waning public health. As we shall see from this 50-year saga, Dr. Fauci's remedies are often more lethal than the diseases they pretend to treat. His COVID prescriptions were no exception. With his narrow focus on the solution of mass vaccination, Dr. Fauci never mentioned any of the many other costs associated with his policy directives. Anthony Fauci seems to have not considered that his unprecedented quarantine of the healthy would kill far more people than COVID, obliterate the global economy, plunge millions into poverty and bankruptcy, and grievously wound constitutional democracy globally. We have no way of knowing how many people died from isolation, unemployment, deferred medical care, depression, mental illness, obesity, stress, overdoses, suicide, addiction, alcoholism, and the accidents that so often accompany despair. We cannot dismiss the accusations that his lockdowns proved more deadly than the contagion. A June 24, 2021 BMJ study showed that U.S. life expectancy decreased by 1.9 years during the quarantine. Since COVID mortalities were mainly among the elderly, and the average age of death from COVID in the UK was 82.4, which was above the average lifespan, the virus could not by itself cause the astonishing decline. As we shall see, Hispanic and Black Americans often shoulder the heaviest burden of Dr. Fauci's public health adventures. In this respect, his COVID-19 countermeasures proved no exception. Between 2018 and 2020, the average Hispanic American lost around 3.9 years in longevity, while the average lifespan of a Black American dropped by 3.25 years. This traumatic culling was unique to America. Between 2018 and 2020, the 1.9-year decrease in average life expectancy at birth in the U.S. was roughly 8.5 times the average decrease in 16 comparable countries, all of which were measured in months, not years. I naively thought the pandemic would not make a big difference in the gap, because my thinking was that it's a global pandemic, so every country is going to take a hit, said Stephen Wolf, Director Emeritus of the Center on Society and Health at Virginia Commonwealth University. What I didn't anticipate was how badly the U.S. would handle the pandemic. These are numbers we aren't at all used to seeing in this research. 0.1 years is something that normally gets attention in the field. So 3.9 years and 3.25 years and even 1.4 years is just horrible, Wolf continued. We haven't had a decrease of that magnitude since World War II. Cost of quarantines, deaths. As Dr. Fauci's policies took hold globally, 300 million humans fell into dire poverty, food insecurity, and starvation. Globally, the impact of lockdowns on health programs, food production, and supply chains plunged millions of people into severe hunger and malnutrition, said Alex Gutentag in Tablet magazine. According to the Associated Press, during 2020, 10,000 children died each month due to virus-linked hunger from global lockdowns. In addition, 500,000 children per month experienced wasting and stunting from malnutrition, up 6.7 million from last year's total of 47 million, which can permanently damage children physically and mentally, transforming individual tragedies into a generational catastrophe. In 2020, disruptions to health and nutrition services killed 228,000 children in South Asia. Deferred medical treatments for cancers, kidney failure, and diabetes killed hundreds of thousands of people and created epidemics of cardiovascular disease and undiagnosed cancer. Unemployment shock is expected to cause 890,000 additional deaths over the next 15 years. The lockdown disintegrated vital food chains, dramatically increased rates of child abuse, suicide, addiction, alcoholism, obesity, mental illness, as well as debilitating developmental delays, isolation, depression, and severe educational deficits in young children. One-third of teens and young adults reported worsening mental health during the pandemic. According to an Ohio State University study, suicide rates among children rose 50%. An August 11, 2021 study by Brown University found that infants born during the quarantine were short on average 22 IQ points, as measured by Baylor scale tests. Some 93,000 Americans died of overdoses in 2020, a 30% rise over 2019. Overdoses from synthetic opioids increased by 38.4%, and 11% of U.S. adults considered suicide in June 2020. 3 million children disappeared from public school systems, and ER saw a 31% increase in adolescent mental health visits, according to Guten Tag. Record numbers of young children failed to reach crucial developmental milestones. Millions of hospital and nursing home patients died alone without comfort or a final goodbye from their families. Dr. Fauci admitted that he never assessed the costs of desolation, poverty, unhealthy isolation, and depression fostered by his countermeasures. "I don't give advice about economic things," Dr. Fauci explained. "I don't give advice about anything other than public health," he continued, even though he was so clearly among those responsible for the economic and social costs. Economic destruction and shifting wealth upward. During the COVID pandemic, Dr. Fauci served as ringmaster in the engineered demolition of America's economy. His lockdown predictably shattered the nation's once booming economic engine, putting 58 million Americans out of work and permanently bankrupting small businesses, including 41% of black-owned businesses, some of which took generations of investment to build. The business closures contributed to a run-up in the national deficit. The interest payments alone will cost almost $1 trillion annually. That ruinous debt will likely permanently bankrupt the New Deal programs, the social safety net that since 1945 fortified, nurtured, and sustained America's envied middle class. Government officials have already begun liquidating the almost 100-year legacies of the New Deal, New Frontier, the Great Society, and Obamacare to pay the accumulated lockdown debts. Will we find ourselves saying goodbye to school lunches, health care, WIC, Medicaid, Medicare, university scholarships, and other long-standing assistance programs? Enriching the wealthy. Dr. Fauci's business closures pulverized America's middle class and engineered the largest upward transfer of wealth in human history. In 2020, workers lost $3.7 trillion, while billionaires gained $3.9 trillion. Some 493 individuals became new billionaires, and an additional 8 million Americans dropped below the poverty line. The biggest winners were the robber barons, the very companies that were cheerleading Dr. Fauci's lockdown and censoring his critics. Big technology, big data, big telecom, big finance, big media behemoths, Michael Bloomberg, Rupert Murdoch, Viacom, and Disney, and Silicon Valley internet titans like Jeff Bezos, Bill Gates, Mark Zuckerberg, Eric Schmidt, Sergey Brin, Larry Page, Larry Ellison, and Jack Dorsey. The very internet companies that snookered us all with the promise of democratizing communications made it impermissible for Americans to criticize their government or question the safety of pharmaceutical products. These companies propped up all official pronouncements while scrubbing all dissent. The same tech, data, and telecom robber barons, gorging themselves on the corpses of our obliterated middle class, rapidly transformed America's once proud democracy into a censorship and surveillance police state from which they profit at every turn. CEO Satya Nadella boasted that Microsoft, by working with the CDC and the Gates-funded Johns Hopkins Center for Biosecurity, had used the COVID pandemic to achieve 2 years of digital transformation in 2 months. Microsoft Teams users ballooned to 200 million meeting participants in a single day, averaged more than 75 million active users, compared to 20 million users in November 2019, and the company's stock value skyrocketed. Larry Ellison's company, Oracle, which partnered with the CIA to build new cloud services, won the contract to process all CDC vaccination data. Ellison's wealth increased by $34 billion in 2020. Mark Zuckerberg's wealth grew by $35 billion. Google's Sergey Brin by $41 billion. Jeff Bezos by $86 billion. Bill Gates by $22 billion. And Michael Bloomberg by nearly $7 billion. Ellison, Gates, and the other members of this government-industry collaboration used the lockdown to accelerate construction of their 5G network of satellites, antennae, biometric facial recognition, and track-and-trace infrastructure that they and their government and intelligence agency partners can use to mine and monetize our data, further suppress dissent, to compel obedience to arbitrary dictates, and to manage the rage that comes as Americans finally wake up to the fact that this outlaw gang has stolen our democracy, our civil rights, our country, and our way of life, while we huddled in orchestrated fear from a flu-like virus. With fears of COVID generously stoked, the dramatic and steady erosion of constitutional rights, and fomenting of a global coup d'etat against democracy, the demolition of our economy, the obliteration of a million small businesses, the collapsing of the middle class, the evisceration of our Bill of Rights, the tidal wave of surveillance capitalism and the rising biosecurity state, and the stunning shifts in wealth and power going to a burgeoning oligarchy of high-tech Silicon Valley robber barons seemed to a dazed and uncritical America like it might be a reasonable price to pay for safety. And anyway, we were told, it's just for 15 days, or maybe 15 months, or however long it takes for Dr. Fauci to follow the data to his answer. Failing upward. Dr. Fauci's catastrophic failure to achieve beneficial health outcomes during the COVID-19 crisis is consistent with the disastrous declines in public health during his half-century running NIAID. For anyone who might have assumed that federal and public health bureaucrats survive and flourish by achieving improvements in public health, Dr. Fauci's durability at NIAID is a disheartening wake-up call. By any measure, he has consistently failed upward. The J. Edgar Hoover of public health has presided over cataclysmic declines in public health, including an exploding chronic disease epidemic that has made the Fauci generation, children born after his elevation to NIAID kingpin in 1984, the sickest generation in American history, and has made Americans among the least healthy citizens on the planet. His obsequious subservience to the big ag, big food, and pharmaceutical companies has left our children drowning in a toxic soup of pesticide residues, corn syrup, and processed foods, while also serving as pincushions for 69 mandated vaccine doses by age 18, none of them properly safety tested. When Dr. Fauci took office, America was still ranked among the world's healthiest populations. An August 2021 study by the Commonwealth Fund ranked America's healthcare system dead last among industrialized nations, with the highest infant mortality and the lowest life expectancy. If healthcare were an Olympic sport, the U.S. might not qualify in a competition with other high-income nations, laments the study's lead author, Eric Schneider, who serves as Senior Vice President for Policy and Research at the Commonwealth Fund. Following World War II, life expectancy in the U.S. climbed for 5 decades, making Americans among the longest-lived people in the developed world. IQ also grew steadily by 3 points each decade since 1900. But as Tony Fauci spent the 1990s expanding the pharmaceutical and chemical paradigm, instead of public health, the pace of both longevity and intelligence slowed. The life expectancy decrease widened the gap between the U.S. and its peers to nearly 5 years, and American children have lost 7 IQ points since 2000. Under Dr. Fauci's leadership, the allergic, autoimmune, and chronic illnesses which Congress specifically charged NIAID to investigate and prevent have mushroomed to afflict 54% of children, up from 12.8% when he took over NIAID in 1984. Dr. Fauci has offered no explanation as to why allergic diseases like asthma, eczema, food allergies, allergic rhinitis, and anaphylaxis suddenly exploded beginning in 1989, 5 years after he came to power. On its website, NIAID boasts that autoimmune disease is one of the agency's top priorities. Some 80 autoimmune diseases, including juvenile diabetes and rheumatoid arthritis, Graves' disease, and Crohn's disease, which were practically unknown prior to 1984, suddenly became epidemic under his watch. Autism, which many scientists now consider an autoimmune disease, exploded from between 2 in 10,000 and 4 in 10,000 Americans when Tony Fauci joined NIAID to 1 in 34 today. Neurological diseases like ADD, ADHD, speech and sleep disorders, narcolepsy, facial tics, and Tourette syndrome have become commonplace in American children. The human, health, and economic costs of chronic disease dwarf the costs of all infectious diseases in the United States. By this decade's end, obesity, diabetes, and pre-diabetes are on track to debilitate 85% of America's citizens. America is among the 10 most overweight countries on Earth. The health impacts of these epidemics, which fall mainly on the young, eclipse even the most exaggerated health impacts of COVID-19. What is causing this cataclysm? Since genes don't cause epidemics, it must be environmental toxins. Many of these illnesses became epidemic in the late 1980s after vaccine manufacturers were granted government protection from liability and consequently accelerated their introduction of new vaccines. The manufacturers' inserts of the 69 vaccine doses list each of the now common illnesses, some 170 in total, as vaccine side effects. So vaccines are a potential culprit, but not the only one. Other possible perpetrators or accomplices that fit the applicable criterion: a sudden epidemic across all demographics beginning in 1989, are corn syrup, PFOA flame retardants, processed foods, cell phones and EMF radiation, chlorpyrifos, ultrasound, and neonicotinoid pesticides. The list is finite, and it would be a simple thing to design studies that give us these answers. Tracing the etiology of these diseases through epidemiological research, observational and bench studies, and animal research is exactly what Congress charged Dr. Fauci to perform. But Tony Fauci controls the public health bankbook and has shown little interest in funding basic science to answer those questions. Is this because any serious investigation into the sources of the chronic disease epidemic would certainly implicate the powerful pharmaceutical companies and the chemical, agricultural, and processed food multinationals that Dr. Fauci and his 20-year business partner Bill Gates have devoted their careers to promoting? As we shall see, his capacity to curry favor with these merchants of pills, powders, potions, poisons, pesticides, pollutants, and pricks has been the key to Dr. Fauci's longevity at HHS. Is it fair to blame Dr. Fauci for a crisis that, of course, has many authors? Due to his vast budgetary discretion, his unique political access, his power over HHS and its various agencies, his moral authority, his moral flexibility, and his bully pulpit, Tony Fauci has more power than any other individual to direct public energies toward solutions. He has done the opposite. Instead of striving to identify the etiologies of the chronic disease pandemic, we shall see that Dr. Fauci has deliberately and systematically used his staggering power over federal scientific research, medical schools, medical journals, and the careers of individual scientists to derail inquiry and obstruct research that might provide the answers. Dr. Fauci's Pharmanation. While some Republicans bridled warily at Dr. Fauci's accumulating power and seemingly arbitrary pronouncements, the alchemies of political tribalism and the relentlessly stoked terror of COVID-19 persuaded spellbound Democrats to close their eyes to the damning evidence that his COVID-19 policies were a catastrophic and dangerous failure. As an advocate for public health, robust science, and independent regulatory agencies, free from corruption and financial entanglements with pharma, I have battled Dr. Fauci for many years. I know him personally, and my impression of him is very different from my fellow Democrats, who first encountered him as the polished, humble, earnest, endearing, and long-suffering star of the televised White House COVID press conferences. Dr. Fauci played a historic role as the leading architect of agency capture, the corporate seizure of America's public health agencies by the pharmaceutical industry. Lamentably, Dr. Fauci's failure to achieve public health goals during the COVID pandemic are not anomalous errors, but consistent with a recurrent pattern of sacrificing public health and safety on the altar of pharmaceutical profits and self-interest. He consistently prioritized pharmaceutical industry profits over public health. Listeners to this audiobook will learn how, in exalting patented medicine, Dr. Fauci has, throughout his long career, routinely falsified science, deceived the public and physicians, and lied about safety and efficacy. Dr. Fauci's malefactions, detailed in this volume, include his crimes against the hundreds of Black and Hispanic orphan and foster children whom he subjected to cruel and deadly medical experiments, and his role with Bill Gates in transforming hundreds of thousands of Africans into lab rats for low-cost clinical trials of dangerous experimental drugs that, once approved, remain financially out of reach for most Africans. You will learn how Dr. Fauci and Mr. Gates have turned the African continent into a dumping ground for expired, dangerous, and ineffective drugs, many of them discontinued for safety reasons in the U.S. and Europe. You will hear how Dr. Fauci's strange fascination with and generous investments in so-called gain-of-function experiments to engineer pandemic superbugs give rise to the ironic possibility that Dr. Fauci may have played a role in triggering the global contagion that two U.S. presidents entrusted him to manage. You will also hear about his two-decade strategy of promoting false pandemics as a scheme for promoting novel vaccines, drugs, and pharma profits. You will learn of his actions to conceal widespread contamination in blood and vaccines, his destructive vendettas against scientists who challenge the pharma paradigm, his deliberate sabotaging of patent-expired remedies against infectious diseases from HIV to COVID-19 to grease the skids for less effective but more profitable remedies. You will learn of the grotesque body counts that have accumulated in the wake of his cold-blooded focus on industry profits over public health. All his strategies during COVID, falsifying science to bring dangerous and ineffective drugs to market, suppressing and sabotaging competitive products that have lower profit margins, even if the cost is prolonging pandemics and losing thousands of lives, all of these share a common purpose, the myopic devotion to pharma. This book will show you that Tony Fauci does not do public health. He is a businessman who has used his office to enrich his pharmaceutical partners and expand the reach of influence that has made him the most powerful and despotic doctor in human history. For some listeners, reaching that conclusion will require crossing some new bridges. Many listeners, however, intuitively know the real Anthony Fauci and need only to see the facts illuminated and organized. I wrote this book so that Americans, both Democrat and Republican, can understand Dr. Fauci's pernicious role in allowing pharmaceutical companies to dominate our government and subvert our democracy, and to chronicle the key role Dr. Fauci has played in the current coup d'etat against democracy. Please go to the Children's Health Defense website for the acknowledgments, endnotes by chapter, updates to data, and new information that becomes available on any of the subject matter covered in this book.